Welcome back. You're watching Stock Watch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Merrill Pick from Old Mutual Investments and Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Welcome to the show, Merrill. We saw the local markets essentially, you know, bounce around, you know, from being up a lot at the beginning, just to close, you know, about a third of a percent. What did you make of today's market? Can you give us a quick market wrap?
Yeah, I think after yesterday's exciting day, we saw, you know, Naspers process just come off the boil a little bit, probably driven also by 10-cent share price. Coming under a bit of pressure in Hong Kong. Resources had a strong day, and then industrials mixed. The Rand also closed weaker today at 16. You know, and I think ultimately there's a bit of a tussle between risk on and risk off. I think on a day when you see the oil price strong, resources strong, it's probably a day where global markets are somewhat less concerned about recession. Whereas in the last 2 weeks, we've been seeing aggressive action by central banks and recession being quite front of mind. So, I think that's what's been driving the market today.
Yes, and I mean, Rowan, on the offshore side of things, we saw, you know, last week, you know, the U.S. markets having the best week, you know, in a very long time, to say the least, and obviously Friday being one of the best days we've seen in a very, very long time.
Sure.
How are those markets doing at open? I mean, the last time I checked, you know, early in you know, South African morning, the equity futures, U.S. equity futures were in the red. Sometime during the day, they were in the green, and I see they, you know, we're going for a green day today, essentially, in the U.S.
Yeah, so I think what's happening is, I mean, you're seeing these sort of quite short-term movements just based on near-term news flow. You know, we had some negative news yesterday around escalation of the war in Ukraine, and you're getting short-term indicators of sort of inflation outlook, interest rate outlook. So I think the market is quite short-term in nature at the moment. And it very much depends on the trajectory of inflation and obviously following that interest rates from here. So you're likely to see, we see quite a few bear market rallies in this kind of environment where the market is looking for good news. If they do see good news, you can see quite strong bounces. But that doesn't mean that the sort of market is out of the woods or the trajectory is changing. I mean, we're concerned about the hard landing potentially.
Yep.
We've seen significant rate hikes, and those are going to continue. And whether the Fed and other central banks can engineer a soft landing, I think that's the next set of rhetoric that people are watching. And as that unfolds, you could see the market retrench further. So we're quite cautious still in these in this environment.
Okay, that's interesting, but that doesn't mean there's no opportunities. Let's start with a philosophical question here from Lulama on Twitter, who says, have we reached the bottom yet? I've lost all gains from the past 2 to 3 years. That's how I feel. I know where she's coming from. I'll ask you on the local front, Merrill, if you're thinking, you know, where are we in terms of equities, and do we see a bottom nearing anytime soon? And for the offshore bit, I'll ask you, Rowan, again. But let's start with you, Meryl.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, no. So I think, I suppose if one has lost gains, it depends. Your listener or your viewer hasn't said whether they were in an ETF or they were in specific stocks, you know. I think there
She's
are
a stock
still,
picker.
Right. There are still pockets of the market where earnings are still recovering, right? And that then gives you opportunities. I think, so for example, Sun International, we've seen very strong recovery today. They had their capital markets day. We've seen a strong recovery in operating profit and the operating leverage coming through. And they are saying, okay, actually, we're still seeing a lag in tourism and local travel volumes, which, you know, only let's say London has been maskless for months now. I don't know. South Africa's only just taken that step. I think there's a lot of on the ground level informal jobs that will return as some of these service sector and hospitality jobs come back. That will trickle through into the rest of the economy. So you've got to look at it almost sector by sector.
Yes.
You look at resources, on the other hand, commodity prices are quite high, and to say that they're going to repeat the performance they've just done, that's hard to forecast. And looking at a global slowdown or weakening, that will have an impact on pockets of the South African index.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's going to be a case by case depending on, you know, the makeup of your portfolio.
Yeah.
Rowan, you were talking about, you know, bear market rallies offshore. So to what end? Have we reached a bottom? Because that's the question I'm pretty sure you're also getting from your clients.
Sure. No, so I think that is quite an important point, because we have seen shares and markets generally come off their highs significantly. So at what point, you know, do they get sort of priced, everything's priced in terms of the future outlook, and are, you know, presenting value such that the prospective returns, I think, are reasonable given the risk that you're taking in equities. I mean, certainly for us, for the last 6 to 9 months, the prices did not reflect adequate returns for investors. So, and what you're seeing is a repricing of risk,
okay,
and hence the discount rates going up, interest rates going up, equity risk premium going up, and also obviously earnings expectations coming down. So it's quite a sort of a potent cocktail of factors that are driving down valuations. We don't think this repricing is over yet. And I think the reason I alluded to it earlier is that earnings are going to come down. We're seeing significant pressure, price pressure, obviously inflation. You're seeing that feed through to the real economy, the consumer being under pressure. And so you've got a declining demand, rising prices, and that's going to translate into lower earnings. And in certain instances, those earnings were also driven by our share buybacks and also obviously low cost of capital financing. That's all going up. So all the prices are going up. So earnings are going to come down. And so we think the markets have to absorb this information still, and that will have second round impacts on obviously valuations, and they could leg down further from here. So you do have to look at the stocks you like. I think if you, you know, there's a stock you felt you missed, Microsoft, for example, you know, a top quality company that's 20% cheaper than it was 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly may be interesting. So, and the point is you may not be able to pick the bottom. So you can sort of start to drip feed your money in. I mean, we think it may be a little bit too early, but certainly, you know, prospective returns are higher than they were. But I think that we think they still get higher valuations, can still move a little bit lower from here.
Yeah, so it's going to be a stock by stock type of situation here. I mean, we can't talk about stocks without mentioning, I mean, I guess we have started mentioning Prosus and Naspers, and we've got a whole lot of questions around that. We'll start on Twitter, which says, would the panel consider Prosus as a short-term buy purely for, you know, as a NAV play and the share buyback program? The other question is some thoughts on Naspers. The other one says, could Tencent be more of a buy than a sell at this stage? Maybe we'll keep that for last, but this one is also interesting. I think we should address this one. In light of yesterday's share buyback announcement, does the panel have a view on which Naspers or Prosus will be a bigger beneficiary in terms of, you know, the discount narrowing? I know this is your space, Rowan. I mean, you do merger arbitrage and you look at sort of these companies that have a lot, you know, to unbundle or, you know, to put together mergers and stuff. So I'll be interested to hear some of your thoughts, but I'll start with you, Meryl.
Yeah, I think my space is more in terms of the fundamentals. So, you know, I can come in again at the Tencent side and in terms of the business models. So short-term punt, I feel like our swear words in my world. You know, we pride ourselves on investing with the long-term perspective, so I would never advise anyone to do short-term anything. I think the fact that clearly management is aware that, that this kind of is an issue, and they've heard the market complaining about this for years, really. And we've tried several things. We've tried the process listing itself and then the cross-holding, and basically none of these things have helped. So this, I think, is probably the clearest, most logical thing they've come up with so far. So I think that is by far a positive. I think there's a lot of known unknowns about how this will unfold. You know, is this a multi-year program? How aggressive is it going to be? What actually do they aim for in terms of an acceptable discount? Because, you know, the one thing is everyone has a different view of actually what this discount is, including management. Everyone knows that it's there, but depending on how you value all the bits and pieces, the underlying pieces, you can come up with very different numbers. So I think it is a positive move, and it shows intention. I think there's a strong theme here of an intention to unlock the discount. Whether it is going to be effective in a short space of time, that's difficult to say. Maybe Rowan has a stronger view there. But the real thing that would unlock the discount is if some of the underlying business verticals were becoming more profitable, and instead they're becoming more loss-making.
Can you walk us through what we should be thinking about if we wanted to play this one? Well,
yeah,
the NASCAR's
so,
process
I think
situation.
The short-term, yes, the short-term money's been made. We saw obviously significant price moves on the actual announcement, which was yesterday. You saw a bit of a consolidation today. So that sort of once-off bump, that 20% sort of gain in the share price, that's absorbed and discounted a lot of the short-term sort of good news. And so I think it is, though, a better quality long-term investment now. As Meryl pointed out, the issue of the discount, this elephant in the room, is now sort of firmly recognized, understood, acknowledged, and being addressed, most importantly. And management pointed out in their communication on the call, they're actually looking to take advantage of the wide discount by buying back shares, because on a per share basis, there'll be fewer shares in issue and they'll be selling 10 cent shares to fund it. But on a per share basis, each shareholder will actually own more 10 cent because they're buying back their own shares, and the NAV, that's NAV accretive. So what you are, and they've also said it's an ongoing program. It's not once off, because I think the previous buyback announcements that they had had a short term bump in the share price. But then you saw the share, once the program had come to an end, essentially capitulate. So they've recognized that, and this is ongoing. And so as long as there's rationale, and that is around what is an acceptable discount level, they will continue to liquidate 10-cent shares and buy Prosus shares. Yes, Naspers is likely to have to actually sell Prosus shares, which is its key asset,
yes,
in order to fund the buybacks. That's quite technical with the new cross-shareholding structure, just to maintain the exact ratios and the levels, because obviously there'll be fewer Prosus shares in issue. That's quite tricky. So, I think it's in the short term, we're probably going to see, you have actually seen Prosus underperform Naspers. And so I think they've got to a level that they're more fair in terms of entry points, you somewhat ambivalent. Look, if you're a longer-term investor, it certainly still makes sense to buy Naspers, because the discount's wider there.
Yes.
And you would hope that they will narrow equally at some point in time. And I think there is a sort of event horizon, be it in 5 years' time, that we can see a more detailed restructuring when the e-commerce assets, the various other non-10-cent assets, are more mature and able to stand on their feet. And you may see a sort of a deeper split in the group. But this is a path on that path. So I would say it's a better long-term investment at this point. The short-term money's been made.
Yeah, who thought, you know, management getting poorer because of their, you know, mismanagement of, you know, the how they ran the whole thing and the unbundling, you know, between the two companies would actually wake them up and set the fire to actually do something about this. And I have to say, as a one of our anchor holdings, we're very happy to see something happening. I think we should double down on what's going to be, you know, the main focus or quote unquote in the very long term, the remaining assets, which is, I don't know, what do you get now, Meryl? What's left if you're buying Prosus? I mean, I sort of brushed it off, you know, because we were running out of time, but I want us to talk more about what's left now.
This is what I've been trying to work out. So because they're selling 10 cent, but yeah, on a per share basis, you end up with more 10 cent. So that's quite a neat financial engineering trick. my simple way of looking at it is, so I've held the view that 10 cent, that it's a robust business model and a huge addressable market. They've built a solid business there and a cash cow. I do think it's maturing, so the multiple that it's on now and gets valued on by the streets, I think, is a bit rich, but it's still a very good business. So the way I look at it very simplistically is you're selling this pretty good business and you're putting more emphasis on the VC side of it.
Yes.
So. But yes, on a per share basis, maybe the maths works out differently, but that's because of the size of the losses. So I suppose having, you know, engaged with Naspers for some time now, that J curve just remains ever on the horizon in terms of the point at which, you know, in aggregate that portfolio makes profits. There's the Edu vertical is now the next thing that's on the horizon. So I suppose I just am a little skeptical about the nature. By nature, they are a VC firm. So the losses are, I don't think, temporary.
unfortunately.
And I suppose that would be my caution on the position size. And just a very simple way, you know, selling something that works, maybe could come at a cheaper price, 10 cent, but you're selling something that works and funneling the money into yet-to-be-proven business models in a lot of cases.
Yeah, look, I mean, you don't have to look very far to see what's going on in the VC space. You have to look at, you know, Tiger Global, you have to look at SoftBank, two of the top investors that Naspers themselves and, you know, Prosus Management have been investing side by side, whether it's in Dubai, South America, Europe, or here in Africa. Those are the businesses that they've been co-investing with, which they've had massive write-downs. I mean, as early as, you know, yesterday, SoftBank, you know, had to take a $1 billion hit on its Indian investment in Zomato. Mm-hmm. So that should tell you something what's going on there. And
there's a cheeky comment for you, Bryce. The easiest way to close this discount is to put 10 cent on like an 18 multiple and for the rest of the world to agree with me, just can't all close overnight.
Even if you do put it at 18, I don't see the discount going away because of the weird structures that we've over-engineered, unfortunately. What did I want to ask? Oh, yeah, Rowan, this is the parting question around this whole 10 cent process, Naspers complex, you know, triumphant. Could 10 cent be more of a buy than a sell at this stage? So this is a question from, okay, someone on email.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you have seen China Tech also sell off significantly. I mean, there was obviously concerns about the regulatory environment, the actions of the Chinese government. I think that's eased quite a bit. They obviously also saw lockdown sort of bumps back in 2020 in terms of increased engagement, and that's also slowing down. So it does look much more reasonable at these levels. Look, if you like 10 cent and you're a long-term investor, I would certainly then still buy Prosus or Naspers. It's the cheaper entry point. It is still 80 to 85% of the NAV, depending how you value the other assets. So, but we have seen some short-term weakness in Tencent, just given the announcement of the share sales by Prosus Naspers. So it is a bit of an opportunistic sort of entry point. But there is going to be quite a fair amount of constant selling, 3 to 5% of average daily volumes coming from their largest shareholder. So it will sort of dampen the share price movement a bit. It really depends, are you looking for short-term gains or long-term gains? If you're looking for short-term gains, maybe Tencent, if you're comfortable and patient investor, I would take the discounted entry point.
Yeah, I mean, you make a very interesting point there, because that overhang on the Tencent, I mean, everyone in the market knows that these guys are big sellers and they own almost a third of the business. So it's going to be a very, very long wait until that's gone. And it could be a great opportunity for long-term investors, like you're saying. Mlungisi is asking, he says, hello, Bright. Can you ask the panel if they have any news on Purple Group? Purple Group share price is going down. I mean, I think him and like 10,000 other people on Twitter are asking the same question. Meryl?
I don't follow that one closely. I mean, I understand more or less what they do, but I'm not aware of any specific news that would be driving the share price.
Rowan?
Yeah, look, I think what you're seeing there, the big driver of their profitability or growth in profitability has been the Easy Equities business, which has done very well. But like we're seeing overseas, say the likes of Robinhood, the share prices have come down significantly. These short-term traders, day traders, retail investors, really, I think as your first sort of call or question said, you know, they're down actually now. So people are losing interest in markets. I think they're going to see significantly less growth and lower earnings, and hence the share price is coming down.
So it's the reverse wealth effect. You know, this is when if you didn't pay for that yacht in cash, you take it back and you hope they'll give you some little bit of cash back. I think it's the moment of truth now, Rowan. I have to ask you guys for your stock picks for the evening. So I'll start with you, Meryl, again.
On a day of discussing tech, I'm going to push an old economy stock like Sasol. So Rowan mentioned a little bit about the escalating war in Russia-Ukraine. I think we've seen the oil price rally a little bit today. My view is there's been a very protracted period of underinvestment in oil and an expectation that the green transition will take place a lot quicker than I think was reasonable. I think this war has made that worse, and we're actually seeing the EU starting to turn back to fossil fuels. And then that's obviously benefiting Sasol in the meantime. And it's on forward earnings trading on a PE of 5, even if you put in an ESG discount, I think that is cheap. The balance sheet is cleaning up. The dividend should be reinstated, and any oil price above $80 is very good for them.
Yeah, interesting. Just a parting shot there. ExxonMobil in the US is one of the big caps that's, you know, top two, but not number two this year. And they got kicked out of the Dow index last year. And that index is doing terribly this year because it doesn't have ExxonMobil. And ExxonMobil supposedly would be helping it a lot if, you know, it was still in that index. But that's my cheap shot for today. Rowan, your pick for the evening?
Yeah, we go with Coronation Fund Managers. Look, the markets are quite a difficult place, but you have seen that share come off significantly. So we think most of the bad news is priced in, and the yield is just too attractive not to look at in terms of the dividend yield. 11 to 12% of forward PE of around 8. Importantly, not a lot of their earnings are performance fees, which creates cyclicality in asset managers. So it's much more the annuity management fees, which we think are stable and defensible. Okay. A lot of their costs are also variable as markets turn down, so they can reduce their costs, so that will protect and maintain margins. So it looks like a sort of a safe yielding bet. And, you know, if and when markets do turn, it could appreciate significantly.
Yes, I think I like that one too. Okay, so that's Rowan Williams with Coronation Fund Managers backing himself and obviously backing, you know, stock pickers in these tough times, and Merrill Pick with oil and gas. Sasol, you know, we like our oil dirty. Thank you very much. Thanks to my guest, Merrill Pick from Old Mutual Investments and Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers. Stockwatch is back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a good evening.